Hello and welcome to another program. We are in John chapter 13. If you have your Bible ready, it will help. John chapter 13, verse number 1, we read, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end."
In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgive me, lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, his hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Though on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well, yet how or why I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. Sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me.
Again, I'm reading in John chapter 13, verse number 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Now you notice here it says the Passover. It used to be in the Old Testament, it's referred to the Lord's Passover. But when you get in the New Testament here, it's called the Passover, and it's called the Jews' Passover. But it is no longer the Lord's Passover. They are just going through the motions while they're trying to figure out how to crucify the Son of God. Well, we read here this phrase, "Jesus knew that his hour was come. He knew. Jesus knew. That phrase is in the New Testament 7 times. They're not doing anything that he didn't know about. Everything is right on track according to his plan. And we read here, his hour was come. Well, way back in John chapter 2, you remember at the wedding, he said to his mother, "What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." John 7:30, they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. John 12:23, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. John 12:27, now is my soul troubled, Jesus said, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 45, it says there, Jesus said, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Mark 14:41, the hour is come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Again, in Luke chapter 22, verse number 53, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. John 17:1, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Well, again, back here in John chapter 13, verse number 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Jesus knew that his hour was come. Jesus knew in John chapter 13 and verse 11, we read he knew who should betray him. Nobody was sneaking up on the Lord here. Everything was happening exactly according to the plan that he had worked out with his Father before he was even come into this world. Well, we also read in verse number 1 that he, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, this word end is not talking about time. It's talking about, well, it's been translated in 1 Thessalonians 2:16 as the uttermost. That is, he loved them as much as is possible for him to love. He loved them to the uttermost. But in 1 Thessalonians 2:16, it talks about the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And there it's referring to the Christ rejectors. Now, everyone in this world is one or the other. You're either going to receive Jesus Christ, and he would be your personal Savior, or you're going to reject him. Those that are his own, it says he loves them unto the uttermost. Those that reject him, let me read it again, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 16, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Seems to me like you'd be smart to get in the best group here. One of these days, you know, when Jesus came the first time, he came as a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. When he comes back, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, the disposition of a lamb and a lion, very different. He comes back with wrath without mixture, the Bible says. You should trust Christ as your Savior if you haven't done that. Then we get into verse number 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The supper being ended. Now, two things are happening here. One is the last. This is the end of the Passover supper, and it is the beginning of the first communion service. And in John 13:27, Jesus said to Judas, "That thou doest, do quickly," and he is sent out here, and then they have the communion service. And this is two different services that are happening here. Now we get into verse number 3, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And so here in this portion of Scripture, we have the table, we have the towel, and we have the traitor. First of all, we focus here on the table. The Bible says that supper being ended, he took a towel and he began to wash their feet and dry them with the towel. Now, that's what a servant would do. And when he came to Peter, we read in verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Much of what the Lord did, he did to teach his followers, his faithful remnant, who he was and what he was doing. And they didn't get it at the time, but they would get it later. As we mentioned before, at the beginning of his ministry, the first thing he did was go in and cleanse the temple. Well, you'd think that'd straighten them out. No, 3.5 years later, at the end of his ministry, he went in and cleansed the temple again. He didn't straighten them out. They're not going to listen to him. But he did it for his disciples. And the Bible says then they remembered what the Bible says in the Old Testament about that situation. Well, he said, Peter, you don't know now, but you'll know hereafter. Peter, verse number 8, saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. But that's what it takes to be a part of you. He so loved the Lord. He did. He often spoke when he should have been listening. But one thing about Peter, he loved the Lord. Well, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Well, Peter actually said, let me read it again. Lord, dost thou wash my feet? What Peter does here is he expresses out loud what the rest of them were thinking. And that's what I like about Peter. He didn't have to guess. He just did said what he was thinking. And sometimes he spoke without thinking. In any event, verse number 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are you if ye do them. It's one thing to know them, it's another thing to do them. And now if you look at the same story back in Luke chapter 22, verse 24, you see even here at this point, they are arguing with them amongst themselves who should be the greatest. Look at chapter Luke 22, verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. What we need is servants for the Master. He's trying to teach them a lesson here. Don't be worrying about who's the greatest. Worry about who can serve one another. Then he said in verse number 18 of John 13, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. That's it here, that ye may believe. That's what's being done here. It's being done for the remnant. Now, as we mentioned earlier, twice he went into the temple with a whip, and he did it for the disciples, again in John 2:17, and his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. In John 2:22, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. John 12:16, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things were written of him, and that they were done, that they had done these things unto him. So we see the towel, we see the table, and then the focus is on the traitor in verse number 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now notice this word receiveth four times in verse number 20. Judas had a choice. He's going to receive the Lord, he's going to reject him. He traveled with him for 3.5 years and he rejected him. Who are you lining up with? You're lining up with one or the other. You're either following what the devil wants or you're following what the Lord wants. It's just that simple. Well, he crossed the line here, and we read that Satan entered into him, verse number 22. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. That's John, of course, referring to himself. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Who is going to betray him is what Peter wanted to know. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus saith unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Well, we read down in verse number 30, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now, you're going to choose a light, or you're going to choose the night. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In verse 31, we read, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Verse 33, he refers to those 11 as little children, and he says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for the other.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Cleansing me from from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender.